We are here to worship at our Savior. And I hope Jesus has touched your heart. It is Father's Day. Father's Day, PD. To all the fathers and father figures out there, may you walk in Christ's footsteps. You have a big responsibility, and we're so thankful that you took on that responsibility. What a wonderful example we have in God and in Christ, for we never walk alone. Because he has touched us.
To praise him, I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Risers, 5 a.m. every Sunday morning, the Gaithers have a one-hour viewing of some music of the homecoming party. And this morning, Bill and Gloria explained to Mark Lowry the genesis of the hymns that they have written, which are numerous, over hundreds. But particularly on He Touched Me, Gloria shared in her witness to the hymn. She said she was considering a tune, a plan for a next writing for a hymn. She thought of the word touch and how personalized that is. And so she prepared a hymn, which you just heard, around the idea that the God of creation is the God who touches us personally. So, welcome to our Savior, as Cheryl has said. We're at Port Huron, Michigan. You're listening to 1380 WPHM on the AM side. And we are also blessed. For those who don't use radios or don't have an AM on your radio, we are simulcast. If you have a cell phone, if you have a pad, if you have a laptop or a main computer, you can find us at WPHM.net. And the podcast will be posted by noon on Monday. So please recommend us to your friends. Let them know we do this every week. We broadcast live for 83 years.
Live, like in person.
Yeah. And this week's broadcast is sponsored by Mary Patterson. Mary, I know you're listening, so thank you very much. She's doing this in memory and honor of Don Martin, and she's also sponsoring the lawn care for this week for Don Martin, who passed and graduated from this world into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Mary. So as we gather here, let me give you some background to Father's Day, and you can use this information to kind of test other people. How did Father's Day come to be? Question. Don't Google it. The story, there's apparently two traditions, but the oldest one...
And I was going to Google it.
Beat you to it. Took place in Fairmont, West Virginia. Can anything good come from West Virginia? Absolutely. The date was July 5th, 1908. July 5th, 1908. A gal called Grace Clayton suggested to her local United Methodist Church pastor to hold a service to celebrate the fathers because there was a tragic event in the community. If you know West Virginia, coal mining is the primary cash product. They work hard in the coal mines, which are a very dangerous field of employment. 361 men died, and that moved her to ask the minister to start it. When that word got around to other communities, it started spreading across the country. There was unofficial support to celebrate a national holiday almost immediately. One of the leading politicians, if you know U.S. history, was William Jennings Bryan. He was the staunch proponent and brought it to the public arena. In 1924, mark the date down, President Calvin Coolidge, he was known as Silent Cal, recommended that Father's Day become a national holiday, but nobody took official action, so it just held in limbo. It wasn't until 1966, for us baby boomers, that's our generation, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, following John Kennedy, by an executive order designated the third Sunday in June as the official day to celebrate Father's Day. Well, that was still incomplete. It was designated, but not made official. In 1972, during Richard M. Nixon's administration, Father's Day was officially recognized as a national holiday. 1966, LBJ, by executive order, did it. 1972, Richard Nixon then recognized as a national holiday by the U.S. government. So, trivia question, but it's the origin of how it came to be because of the death of miners in West Virginia. And tragedies happen in the workplace many places. Okay, we're here to worship our God. We're in the season of Pentecost, third Sunday. We're also ready to begin with confession of sin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation.
Amen. Amen.
Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance,
and we deny your presence in our lives.
We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all.
We abuse your good creation for our own benefit.
We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us.
We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us. And in your spirit, lead us. So that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen.
And so, beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven, so let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We have our gathering hymn this day. This is My Father's World, a favorite of so many.
This is my voice.
very concept that this is my Father's world puts everything into another perspective. We work and we hustle every day as if this was our world, and it's not. There is a higher power who's in charge. We humble ourselves to acknowledge him. We begin with the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Our hymn of praise this day, there's just something about that name. And again, this morning's video explained how Bill and Gloria came up with that name.
Jesus. Jesus.
Harmonize it.
Jesus. There's just something about that name.
The dead. In the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, the lights of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard a mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever, and I've watched as that little body grew quiet and the fevered brow cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, when those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name. Jesus. Jesus. Emperors have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race shall rise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name of Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. So you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Say that name with me, Jesus. Ah, there is something, something about that name. Now sing it.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
It's a shame that many times, the only time you hear the word Jesus or Jesus Christ in many homes is usually in profanity. And what a degradation that is of holy name. Service continues, so let us pray.
Teach us, good Lord God, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, except that of knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Our first reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 20, selected verses. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock. All day long, everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more of his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our refuge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them, for to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. And our special music this week, thanks to the DeTerrys, to Denver, to Jack. Special, they're going to take a summer break after this week, so we'll probably hear them back, or it'll be a family ensemble at some future date. We listen to the selection.
Thank you.
Christy Terry's.
Absolutely.
We give thanks for the many weeks they have given and contribute out of their time, stewardship, and their faith for our music and special music during this time of pandemic. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Denver. So, we continue.
The song today is from 69, and it's selected verses. The antiphon is, "Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind. Surely, for your sake, I have suffered reproach, and shame has covered my face.
I have become a stranger to my own kindred, an alien to my mother's children.
Zeal for your house has eaten me up, and scorn of those who scorn you has fallen upon me.
I humbled myself with fasting, but that was turned to my reproach.
Answer me, O Lord,
for your love is kind.
I put on sackcloth also, and become a byword among them. Those who sit at the gate murmur against me, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, this is my prayer to you. At the time you have set, O Lord, in your great mercy, O Lord, answer me with your unfailing help.
Save me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Let me be rescued from those who hate me and out of the deep waters. Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind.
Do not let the torrents of waters wash over me. Neither let the deep swallow me up. Do not let the pit shut its mouth upon me.
Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind.
In your great compassion, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant. Be swift and answer me, for I am in distress.
Draw near to me and redeem me.
Because of my enemies, deliver me. Answer me, O Lord, for your love is kind. Second reading comes from Romans chapter 6, selected verses. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. We will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. The gospel reading for this third Sunday after Pentecost is talking about your life and my life if we bear the name C, Christian, in this world. Do not expect it to be an easy road. Be ready to lift up the cross of Christ. Matthew 10th chapter, beginning with verse 24. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jesus said to the 12 disciples, a disciple is not above a teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master the teacher and the slave the house of Beelzebub, that is Satan, how much more will they malign those of his own household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will be not be uncovered, nothing secret that will not become known. Now what I'm going to say to you in the dark, I want you to go out and tell it in the light. What you hear whispered, I want you to proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but don't kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both your soul as well as your body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, as if they were worthless? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father knowing it. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are more valued than the sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to earth. I've not come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. For I've come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. We're going to take a trip through the three lessons, but let me put you contextually what the season of Pentecost is, since it's been 3 weeks since I told you this. The first part of the church year, Advent through Lent, is the story about Jesus, his life, giving, death, and resurrection to our benefit. The second part of the church's calendar is then delineated as the season of the church, or God's people, and that's Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit, the calling together the ecclesia, the Greek for church, called from the world to be God's people within the world, but not of the world. So in that context, these lessons for the next several weeks through the Pentecost season and Christ the King Sunday, the last one, before the next Advent, are about us, the church, the people of God, you and I, and every home across this place, and God's will and purpose for us. So take it to heart. It's penned and edited and included in Scripture to edify us. So, okay, let's go to the Old Testament, Jeremiah. In seminary, some 49 years ago, as I studied the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, I chose to take it as a whole course by itself, not like an Old Testament and grouped together, rather as Jeremiah for Jeremiah's sake. And in so doing, began to realize how much my life would be similar to Jeremiah's life, not to the extreme, believe me. I've been thrown into sores or left alone to die. No, nothing like that. But emotionally, in the course of Jeremiah's life, to be a servant or a prophet, one who speaks for God. That's what a prophet means in Hebrew. He who spoke God's word, Jeremiah, gained negative consequences for it. So in this, we call this a lament. He is raising his fist up to heaven, as if there is a heaven above, and he's saying, Lord, don't you see what you did to me? You enticed me. You got me over onto your side of the camp, and I was enticed. I fell for it. You overpowered me. I didn't have a chance. You prevailed. But look at what it gave me, Lord. I become a laughingstock to everybody all the time. Everyone mocks me. And if I say to them, oh, cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction's coming if you don't change your ways. And I speak your word, Lord, I become a reproach, a derision. If I say, I'm not going to talk about God, I'm not going to talk about his judgments, I'm not going to speak anymore in his name. Then within me, there's something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary. I try to withhold it, but I cannot. You understand the power of the word. When God calls the prophet, God puts it with deep buried into their soul. And even if they say, I'm burned out, Lord, I give up. Your people are stubborn. They're stiff-necked. Just remember Moses and 40 years of what a pain they were in his anatomy. Understand, that's part of the call. People who hear the message, many of them will reject it. They will attack the person. In logic, we call that a fallacy ad hominem, which is Latin, which means attacking the person, not the messenger, not the message. In reality, we are vessels. The Apostle Paul, New Testament, says, and God has put his treasure, golden treasure, into our earthen vessel. This body called Don, the body called Jeremiah, they were just vessels carrying the word of the Lord. But I know, Jeremiah goes on to say, the Lord for me is like a dreaded warrior, because he will show and vindicate me that I am his, and he will protect me. Persecutors will stumble. They're not going to prevail against me. Sing to the Lord. His heart is raised up out of the gutter, out of the trenches of Sheol. And he says, praise the Lord. What you have witnessed in this text is literally probably what you and I get called spiritual depression, moving from self-pity to God praising. Second reading. From the book of Romans, for those who are familiar with the context, this chapter begins with these verses that were read for you by Cheryl in Romans 6. This is the chapter on baptism. Martin Luther wrote extensively, not only in the book of Romans commentary, but here on chapter 6. Let's open it up. Question, if God's going to forgive me, why do I have to worry about what I do? How about if I sin more so God can give me more grace? Illogic, not approved, not spoken by God. That's the old Adam within us. Should we continue to sin more so grace can abound? By no means. How can you say you died to sin and still keep living like you're a sinner? Do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? We were baptized into his death. For Paul and for the Christian church, the action of baptism is catamount to our faith development, understanding our new identity. The old Adam, still alive, warring within us, but named and claimed by Jesus Christ. We are his own, property of God. I have a t-shirt too in my Christian shirts. God's property, for I am. I'm not bragging, it's that God, I brag about my God. This Christ, we know, Paul goes on to say, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And consequently, because we are with him on coattails, we are to walk in newness of life. If we've been united with Christ in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Those verses are used in all Lutheran liturgies for the burial of the dead. For me, that's a kind of a downer name for the order of service. In my Presbyterian years, I always liked the title in their hymnal back in the 70s, which was called The Service of Resurrection. But we are raised as Christ's people. The old has died. We will claim the new. So that's the reason I use the phrase, we graduated. For when we die, we become fully what we experience partly in this world. Named and claimed, but now totally resurrected as Christ was raised from the dead. Our old self has been crucified with him. Sin is dying every day, hopefully in our lives. Luther, in his explanation, got to be fair here, you got to hear it. There is a struggle between the sinner saint. You got to understand, if you go through this in your life, you know what you do wrong, but you keep gravitating to that sinner. You knew what was right, but you didn't want to do it. You were timid. You didn't want the criticism. You don't want to be different from everybody else. That's the struggle. The Apostle Paul understood it also later on in Romans. He says, the very things I don't want to do, I do. The very things I know what is correct and God wants, God pleasing, I fail to do. What will deliver me from this body of death? And then Paul answers his rhetorical question, thanks be to God for his gift to us in Christ Jesus. Understand, dear people, that you and I will struggle in this world because we're in between two worlds. He who died is set free from that, Jesus Christ. When we die, we'll be set free from it. So all the things that separated families, all the things that separated racial groups, all the things that separate, while we can make minimal progress here on earth, though our expectations are for perfection, we're never going to get it. We're sinners at the core. I know nobody wants to hear that, but the heart of what? Prejudice, hate, distrust is us. When you point your finger at somebody else, four more point back at you. My wife taught me that. We understand that we are the issue. I like, after World War II, the slogan was this little figure over a wall said, we have met the enemy, and it is us. And that is true. World, suck it up. We are it. Don't blame any other grouping. We are the source of our own trouble, and it's called sin. And Christ died that we can be set free. So along with that comes the gospel text. As we left Jeremiah, feeling sorry for himself, but then elevated to say, you know, even though I'm down here and I feel, you know what, the bird dropped on me, God is worthy of my praise. I had a poster in college. I always had posters on my walls in my dormitory. It's a big one. It was made out of a replica photo enlargement, so to speak, of a little 4-inch statue. So where a man's looking up at a tree branch, at a bird, and the bird's ready to do, you know what birds do. And the saying on the little plaque was, go ahead, everybody else does. You get the gist of that. You can feel you're at the bottom of the pit. Nothing is going right. Everything I touch fails. Everybody hates me. Oh! This is a terrible world. And many people choose and take action to pull out of this world. That's not the course. That's not the solution. So Matthew's gospel. Look, if you're a disciple of mine, you're not better than me. Expect the same conditions I got. I was hated. I was unjustly accused. I was nailed to a cross. Guess what, men and women who follow me? You'll be called demons, false teachers. You're not. You know who you are and you know whose you are. You're Christ's property. What I tell you is private conversation, but I want you to go out to the public. That's you and I, to this world. Proclaim it from the housetops. Don't fear those who can hurt your body or call you names. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but names can never hurt you under God's umbrella. Understand, if two sparrows are worth only a penny, And God knows their outcome, and when one falls in the tree, you better believe, as a child of God, son of the Creator God, you are known to your Father. He knows what's happening to you, even when you think nobody knows and nobody darn well cares about me. So Jesus says, so don't be afraid. You are more value than the sparrows. As he goes on to say and speaks to us, this is a part that sounds challenging on a Father's Day about love your fathers, fathers, love your kids. You know, the gospel may actually divide your family. Sorry, it's true. Why? Sin. The heart of a human problem from creation's fall to this very day and will until Christ returns. We're self-centered, we're selfish. We judge reality by our situation, and we exclude anybody else's interpretation of reality. It's my interpretation that matters. So be ready for division, even at the level of great love, which is dealing with the family unit. Understand that Christ will heal these things in the resurrection. Now, you may say, well, okay, that seems tough, love. Yes, it is. And understand that Jesus is talking to an audience in first century about the supreme value in Judaism in the first 100 years, and even prior to that, was the family unit. Everything was family. If you study Judaism, you see everything was revolving around a father. When there was a father in the household, he taught the faith. He did the education. The wife took care of domestic responsibilities, but he was in charge, and this family's gonna toe the line and be a family. Well, that was wrongly done as well. Let's name the animal, sin. It breaks down human relationships with that. What, accepting even Jesus Christ or God as the divine one because we have been a bad messenger of the truth. So, if you're going to follow Christ, Jesus says, here's the answer. Pick up your cross and follow me. And that has been so wrongly used by Christian people. They'll say, well, you know, my cross is that I have this pain and it never goes away. No, 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 no. That's not your cross. Listen to the words of Christ. Pick up your cross and follow me. It does not say about physical ailment, physical condition, family setting, or your economic condition. It doesn't say anything about that. You pick up your faith for what seems to be, what, impossible in this life, but is made possible by the Holy Spirit, and you follow Christ, no one else. Yeah, you got to keep your eyes on the Lord. That can be challenging in a confusing world. But if you want to find your life, Jesus says, you're ultimately going to have to lose it. Because when you lose it for the sake of Christ, you have gained everything. I guess if you had to summarize the gospel lesson, it would be something like, be faithful with God, and God will be faithful with you at the resurrection. Do not be short-sighted. Be long-sighted. And trust God and do God's bidding. Well, this is Pentecost. There's going to be more tough scriptures. People are going to give you soft meanings. But there is no soft meaning when Christ, who is our Lord, is giving up his life for us. May the God of grace, who has redeemed us through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, bless us in whole and healing relationships. Amen. Our hymn of the day this day is the Oak Ridge Boys. Mm-hmm. This is one that has never appeared in a Lutheran hymnal that I have ever seen, and we were told that in seminary. In the Garden. It's fantastic.
I come to the garden alone. While the dew
this is by the Oak Ridge Boys.
Is still on the road. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is
singing and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing.
And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his all and the joy we share as we tarry there none other has ever known.
Those of our Savior, now I can say I have let you sing it once. Every time, every summer for 27 years, we'll do it when we're back in the house, when we're permitted to sing and without spreading germs. We do a hymn sing for the summer, 3 months. Well, it won't be 3 months this time, but in the garden, we have heard and participated at our Savior Luther. We made history. We continue. We've heard the word read by Cheryl. You heard the word proclaimed. Now we respond by a statement of faith. Join us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hope will lead us in our prayers.
Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. Expansive God, you bridge diverse voices together to form your church. Open our hearts and unstop our ears to learn from one another that differences might not overshadow our baptismal unity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Providing God, your creation, shows us that life comes from death. Renew the places where our land, air, and waterways have been ill for too long. Direct the work of all who care for birds and their habitat. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protecting God, sustain and keep safe all who work to defend others across the world. Revive and strengthen organizations dedicating to caring for refugees and migrants while their homelands struggle for peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, you promised to be with all who are persecuted. For your sake, guide all who speak your word of justice and console any who are tormented or targeted for being who they are. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, you are with us, and we are never alone. Bless all fathers and father figures who strive to love and nurture as you do. Comfort all who long to be fathers and all for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Reigning God, you bless us with guides and caretakers in the faith as we give thanks for those who have died. Increase our care for one another until we walk with them in the newness of life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
And gracious Lord, it's not a shopping list, but we do also add more concerns around us at the current time. For the condition of our nation here, let's name it the United States of America, because they're not manifesting too much unitedness. Reality is, Lord, as you see from heaven, we are a divided people. We probably have always been a divided people. I don't think it's new. But gracious God, it's eating this nation apart. It's dividing us. The disease of sin is rampant upon our land. Things are justified in behaviors and violence that are not justifiable. Things that are done in inequality and racial reasons are not justifiable. Help us not only to acknowledge our sin before your throne, because that's the only throne, and give us the grace and the peace to amend our lives. And we're also infected by a disease, Lord. We pray you would heal the people who are currently ill or may become ill, that you can take this away from those throughout this world dealing with COVID-19. And on this Father's Day, Lord, we graciously ask your protection over households. We remember the fathers in their homes performing their responsibilities. We remember the women who have become fathers because the fathers have left, either by their will or by death and circumstance. Gracious God, bless them and give them an extra measure of love and patience to do two jobs at the same time. We are a needy people, Lord, so receive these prayers and those that are too deep for our words through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We continue in our prayer as our Lord taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. At this point in the service, we would receive our gifts. I encourage you, if you be faithful weekly in your support of our Savior, we're now coming into a period where we're short almost $1,000 a week. We were doing so well the first 8-10 weeks. Now we're going into the summer motif, but please help us be conscious. Along with that, remind you of sponsorships of radio. I indicated at the beginning, Mary Patterson has today's broadcast. Again, Mary, thank you. Next Sunday, Bill and Kay Price celebrate their 54th wedding anniversary. Congratulations, and thank you for your support. July 5th is open. July 12th just got booked this past week, Judy Avers and Tony Gaines. So July 5th, July 19th, July 26th are open for your sponsorship. Along with that, lawn care this week is being provided by Tony Gaines and Mary Patterson with in memory of Don Martin. The 28th is going to be by Jane and Jim Borntrager for lawn. July 5th will be Tony Gaines, and July 12th will be Tony Gaines for lawn care. Thank you very much, Tony and Jane and Jim Borntrager. Tuesday, very important meeting for church council. Every council member, if you got a spouse, a family member, somebody outside your household but on church council, you call them and make sure they're there at 7 o'clock. There it is our intention, we'll see if we're successful, to make a decision when we will tentatively open up for public worship for, here we're going to do it, both services. You heard it here. 8:30 and 11. We decided at the last council meeting it wasn't just going to be a crawl in one service of the two. We're going to do two services live. And we also pray we will have organists who will come along with us because of their concerns and their availabilities. Okay? So.
But that's what something church council will decide, and we will hear about it through the means that we have for communicating within the church, so that all will be kept in the loop. Nobody's being left out of the loop, and we will definitely get you the information.
The e-letter will be delayed one day to Wednesday, so it can be in writing. You know, one of the things that always happens is the church is for people to pass it word to word to each other. So pass on that word about when we open up again. Our offering hymn is one we tried to do last week, but the device wasn't working. But it has proven to be successful. Cast your bread upon the water. You've never heard that expression in Scripture. Pour your blessing on the water, and you will be blessed. We're going to do the offertory prayer.
Anything from God at all.
God of goodness and growth, all creation is yours, and your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. Water and word, wine and bread, these are the signs of your abundant grace. Nourish us through these gifts, that we might proclaim your steadfast love in our communities and the world. Through Jesus Christ, our strength and song. Amen.
Soon it will come back to you.
Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Good measure, press.
Let me speak it at this time. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, things yet to come. No powers, no height, no depth, nor anything else in all creation is going to be able to separate you and us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God the Creator, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit the Comforter bless you, keep you in eternal life.